That was it. That was quick. Welcome. Are we on currently?
Yeah, we're on.
We're on. All right. Sorry about that, guys. Welcome to Wrestling Talk Now. This is a special remembrance episode of Bray Wyatt. We had gotten the unfortunate news last Thursday via Triple H, who had posted a tweet of Bray Wyatt passing away at the age of 36 years old. And there has been other reports who have came out through Sean Ross Sapp that had reported that it was due to heart complications due to COVID that Bray Wyatt was going through. We had heard that Bray Wyatt was feeling sick, or he was injured. And there was also rumors that he was coming back to the WWE sooner rather than later. And then we had gotten this shocking news, this horrible, horrible news of the passing of Bray Wyatt. So we are here to talk about our best moments of Bray, of, you know, his entire wrestling history, because it is highly unlikely that we are going to see someone with such a creative mind for the wrestling business as Bray Wyatt. So we are here to remember Bray, remember him as a human being, and also remember him as a sports entertainer. And of course, I am not alone. I am here with Big Red. Yeah, don't really know how to start it off there, good sir. But I'd like to thank the Wrestling Talk Nation for joining us for this episode. And yeah, it's very tough, very hard. Sorry, I don't have the great words there. But here we are, the remembrance episode of Bray Wyatt. And unfortunately, that is not the only news that happened last week. We had also legendary hardcore legend Terry Funk, who had passed away the day before. I want to say 78 years old. I don't have it right in front of me. But he had passed away at the age of 78. He wasn't doing too good. He had dementia and he was in a home. So that news, along with the Bray Wyatt news, and then the next day or the next 2 days after, we heard of Bob Barker also passing away. So lot of horrible news happened last week, and we're here just to speak on the great legacy of Bray Wyatt. And, you know, even if whatever comes up with Terry Funk, he was a legend in his own mind. So I imagine we also have a lot to say about him there. So that is what this episode is going to be about. It's not going to be so much about any news and rumors or anything like that. It is just going to be about talking about Bray. And I will let you kick it off, good sir. I guess where were you when you heard the news? What went through your head, and instantly what essentially, you know, and I guess maybe we can talk about the SmackDown episode. Mm-hmm. SmackDown did pay a tribute to him. A lot of wrestlers were there, including Redbeard. I'm trying to remember his WWE name. Braun Strowman, and yeah, I guess we'll go with Redbeard, because the other one,
I stay with Redbeard because I can't remember that one either. So
that's fair. So yeah. So where were you, and what exactly?
It was a Wednesday, right?
No, it was a Thursday night, actually.
It was a Thursday. What was I doing Thursday? Okay, yeah. I was I was in my bedroom watching Dynamite. and my phone rang, and it was you with a text from Triple H.
Mm-hmm.
And I dropped my phone. Like, no, this is fake news. And my wife came in the room freaking out. What happened? I'm like, Bray's dead. And mom's like, who? My mom, my wife. Well, I was like, right. Who's Bray? I'm like, Bray Wyatt. She's like, no way. I'm like, JJ just text me.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing I asked you was, is this fake news?
Of course. Oh.
The first, like, it's impossible. Like, he's too young, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Me thinking he was 30.
36.
36, my age. And it just popped in my head. It was his four kids, JoJo, his brother, Bo. We don't know him personally, but we see them every week. So it's like we know them personally. And it's a shame in the sense of the talent he had. And it's a shame that the more news we hear that he passed in his sleep while his heart, what's the word I'm looking for?
Well, he had essentially, so the news with that had came out through Sean Ross Sapp. Right. Obviously, everyone was trying to figure out after the Triple H tweet what exactly went on. Triple H mentioned to obviously respect the privacy of right. the Rotunda family and all that. So, but we got news about an hour later of Sean Ross Sapp, who was able to report that Bray Wyatt had actually died due to heart contemplations because right. he wasn't wearing his defibrillator, which was prescribed by his doctor to always wear. He had contracted COVID mm-hmm. back in March, and he had a congenital heart already issue, and COVID essentially had exacerbated it even more. So he was using a defibrillator since he was diagnosed with that. And it turns out when JoJo had mentioned that when Bray Wyatt had went to go and take a nap, and essentially after the alarm rang, she noticed that he wasn't snoozing it, or we just kept on ringing and ringing and ringing. She went to go check, and he just wasn't breathing. And then the police reports did come out that they did not find the heart defibrillator anywhere near his body, and it was still in his car. And yeah, so it was through his heart stopping due to, I guess, long-term COVID, because it was causing him a lot of issues. I am kind of... So when I heard about this info, because we as fans didn't really know, the dirt sheets doesn't look like didn't really know, or they didn't report it of what was going on with Bray. We kind of maybe knew maybe it was an injury, but we've heard of the rumors of him coming back.
Yeah.
So with this news that we're hearing now, it's kind of hard for me to believe
Yeah.
You know, if he is using a heart defibrillator, that he would be back anytime soon. So there was conflicting reports there. But ultimately, that is what had happened with Bray. He went for a nap and just didn't wake up. His heart had stopped while he was sleeping, leaving behind his wife JoJo, and two kids from JoJo, as well as two other kids from his previous marriage. So, that's essentially what had happened, and nothing but an outpour of support from everyone in the wrestling business. You have everyone. All the wrestlers coming out and just talking about how a great guy he was behind the scenes, and how they can't forget about his hugs and his laugh. Mm-hmm. and all of that. AEW had also did a tribute to Bray as well. It was just a photo because Rampage is recorded beforehand, but they did just do a photo. But we did see the House of Black did do something at All In with the lantern. And Jericho also did a concert, I believe, on the Friday for London. And he got the whole crowd singing. He's got the whole world in his hands, which, of course, is something that Bray used to sing as his cult character. That was his kind of his go-to song. And obviously with his amazing monologues, this guy probably was one of the best wrestlers who can, you know, dish out a monologue just as well as he did. So I had went, I've been going through just a bunch of various moments of Bray when he started, because he started back in like 2009, Bray Wyatt, from like FCW, and then he went to NXT, and that's when the Wyatt family kind of came about. And just, yeah, it just seemed like he was destined for greatness just because he is such a creative mind. And, you know, he did do a lot in the wrestling business. He won three heavyweight championships with WWE. But it just seemed like his story wasn't over yet. The amount of pushbacks he was given with all of his characters, just with everything from, you know, him with Nexus, right?
Right.
When he had started with Nexus back in the thing, Nexus was like just dying down and he had to go reinvent himself again. And that's when he kind of came out with the Bray Wyatt character back in NXT. And then it kind of went from there. The fans gravitated towards him because they liked it. It was something fresh, something new, something very creative. I think his first feud was like with Kane in when he first appeared on Raw with the Wyatt family, and the fans went crazy. They were so excited because he was over. He was literally over. I think his first like crazy match in on a pay-per-view was the Four Rings of Fire with Kane. So we got to see a lot of just inventiveness going on. We haven't seen like an Inferno match, wasn't necessarily an Inferno match, in quite some time, but Bray definitely had brought a lot of new concepts to the wrestling business that we really needed at the time.
And still do.
And still do. And, you know, he was kind of the first persons with the whole cinematic, right? We went all cinematic with the COVID era and the Thunderdome and all that, because that's kind of what they had to do. Bray was essentially one of the first people to do it, with Randy Orton. I don't necessarily, wasn't necessarily the greatest cinematic match, but, you know, it was something different. You're not going to like everything that everyone does, but, you know, that's just... that's just the wrestling business, right? The Bray Wyatt has went through so many changes with changing his character, because it was off and on, even when he faced The Undertaker, right? Like, everyone thought he should have won that match against Taker. It was just after Brock Lesnar had beat him. And Bray Wyatt was given this awesome chance to beat The Undertaker. We were all like, yes, this is going to be the passing of the torch moment. And, you know, that didn't happen. So Bray had to like reinvent himself again and all that. So the guy was literally synonymous with the slogan, never give up. Because anytime WWE had gave him something, or he had created something and WWE had kind of pushed it to the side, he just kept on going. His creative mind just kept on going and say, okay, well, let's try this. We had the Cult Wyatt. We had the Swamp Riot. Wyatt. We had The Fiend, obviously, the Firefly Funhouse, you know, before The Fiend was invented. This guy just wasn't about wrestling. He thought wrestling was really a work of art, and that's how he treated it as, you know. So I don't doubt that he gave a lot of motivation to a lot of our fans out there to be more creative and do a lot more things with, you know, what you know and what you can do, and to push yourself further and further and further, because essentially that's what Bray had to do in the wrestling business to get recognized. And I will shut up now and let you talk for a bit, because
no, you could go ahead. I was listening.
No, I know you were. You were listening quite intently, I see. But no, so what, now that we are talking, about, you know, Bray being in the WWE, what kind of was your go-to moment? What's a moment that does stick out, to you, either a wrestling match, a segment?
Well, there was a lot. Like, there's a lot. There's the first one pops in my head is when he won his first title reign in the chamber.
Right. Yeah.
And we finally said finally, because we thought we believed that he should have got it sooner than for later. Sure. And then the other one is when he got released. Excuse me. When he got released, we were all in shock.
That, right.
No. That Vince at that time, it was Vince who would let a genius and just let go a genius, and we thought straight ahead, oh, he's gonna go to AEW, he's gonna go to AEW. But he didn't. It took a few months. And there's a lot of people that came back from the release of that list of releases. But the most that we wanted back was Bray, and I could say I was so excited when he came back, and then he left in a short few months later. He left, and which sucks.
Yeah, we got to. Okay, guys, I don't know why the Facebook thing isn't working, but maybe if you don't mind, put your name right on the side there so we do know. Otherwise, Facebook user looks weird. Such a shame. He was a very nice guy when Justin and I met him. This is probably Mike. Yeah. When I met him again the next day, we chatted about how much I loved his promos and how I forgot I was watching wrestling during his intense promos. Yeah, so essentially Bray Wyatt's last match was on the SmackDown in Montreal. It was a dark match after SmackDown, technically.
Yes.
And and then we had met him. Yeah, we had met him that night afterwards when we went to go meet him. I have a picture with him. It's on my profile picture there. Super cool dude. He even gave me the, you know, let me in eyes when I took the photo with him. So that was cool.
Wasn't his last match at the Rumble?
Well, I'm saying his last match technically was at the dark match on SmackDown in Montreal, technically. Rumble was the lights out.
Yeah,
that was technically his last televised match.
Okay, I know what you meant. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah,
okay, sorry.
And you know, even that, like, a lot of people didn't like the lights out match, right? Like, everyone thought it was a bit weird. You know, but that whole process of, you know, the White Rabbit, everyone was going crazy over that. You know, that mask, he was by a legendary horror mask creator. Name is totally escaping me at the moment. But that mask was all Wyatt wanting to create. He was a huge horror fan. He loved horror movies and all that. So he wanted to basically be his own villain in a horror flick. And that's what he set out to do with The Fiend. And yeah, the lights out match wasn't, you know, too great wasn't really great, but it was something different. It just wasn't great with the whole pitch dark kind of thing and the neon lights and whatnot. But it was telling a story of, you know, Uncle Howdy and all that. We saw Uncle Howdy come out afterwards and jump on LA Knight. So that essentially was his last televised match. He still did a few promos after that, talking basically as as Wyndham, technically, right? Because he was going through the crazy phase of between Wyndham and Uncle Howdy and all that. So he still had his great monologues that he did do there. He could talk on the mic, but you can really tell with some of the newer promos that he was doing, a lot of that came from the heart, that he wasn't feeling great. And he was depressed, and the fans had gave him a lot of love, and he appreciated it. And just, I cannot begin to even try and paraphrase the words that Bray uses, but he was just phenomenal on the mic. And even those monologues that he did give, it just hit. And you would always get them on like every SmackDown, and it would usually be to end SmackDown because they were just so good. You didn't need a match. You can just have Bray Wyatt talk for 10 to 15 minutes. And like Mike mentioned that he told Bray as well, it's like I wasn't watching a wrestling show anymore. You know, I was just in your own show of, you know, your show of Bray Wyatt, because the dude captivated you. He just captivated you in, and he just guided you with his words. And he's just so good. So good.
This is the man who would technically replace Undertaker in the dark character in the wrestling world, basically.
I mean, we even got that whole Undertaker whispered something to Bray Wyatt at one point, right? When they met again, kind of thing.
And now we're not going to see that. And you can't, there's no one in the same level. And I don't think we're going to see that anytime soon.
I would argue, you know, not to put Taker down or anything. I would argue that Bray Wyatt was a lot more creative than the Undertaker.
100%. 100%.
You know, sure, it's the same kind of gothic cultish gimmick. And yes, there have been comparisons made between the two, of course, because they kind of have that same persona going on, but Bray Wyatt took it to a whole nother level. And
also, Bray had more to work with in a sense of he had the social medias, he had other places that he could have promote himself. Taker at that time just had Monday Night Raw.
Well, and Taker didn't have a voice, really, right?
Right.
The whole thing about him was essentially that's what makes them complete opposites, right? Taker didn't use his voice. He was more of using the mystique. His storyline with Undertaker would have been a lot better if they had more buildup than 1 week. Agree with that. On top of that, too, though, I think Bray was hurt or something. He had twisted his ankle.
That was Mania, right?
That was at Mania, exactly. And why they gave Taker the win, I will never know. It didn't make sense at all.
Was it Mania 31?
I believe it was Mania.
Because
it was like 31 or 30.
No, because 30 is the one that Taker lost the streak. That fair. I remember really well.
It was 31.
Okay. So he won against Wyatt on 31 and lost against Roman on 32.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's sense. It. And Yeah, no, that's when they definitely should have just let Taker lose that kind of thing. Because then that's what pushed Bray Wyatt down again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, kind of like, well, what do we do with him now? Bray Wyatt was very relentless, though. That's one key takeaway you got to take from it, though, because he always just tried to come back. Always tried to come back. He never said, okay, well, I'm going to give up now. 33 was Roman versus The Rock. Well, you got that wrong. I wish 33 was Roman versus The Rock. We're still waiting to see that. But yes, he probably meant Taker, obviously.
Now you're confusing me, but okay.
Oh, Rowan versus The Rock. Yes. Sorry. I changed that W to an M.
Me too.
Yeah, in like 6 seconds. That is also what messed him up too, because it made the Wyatt family look very jobberish. Jobberish on top of that. Like, and it, why? Like, if The Rock was there, I get The Rock needs his time to shine, but that's when you should have let The Rock get his ass kicked and the Wyatt family look even better. Like, oh, that's what I hate about Vince McMahon and the WWE storylines that they were going with. Like, I don't know why they didn't give him more of a push.
Mm-hmm. And to me, of all the faces, which I call them, of all the faces of Wyatt,
right,
the cult from by far my favorite, by far.
Yeah, the whole Wyatt family thing, amazing, for sure. Because I believe his monologues there were just amazing.
Just when he would just talk and like with his chair, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's all. It's like Oscar.
Yeah, that's all you needed. Yeah. That's what I mean. And that's when he was the most, I would say, captivating, because he was more mysterious too, right? Mm-hmm. He was just a cult leader, the rocking chair, the lantern.
The Hawaiian shirts,
right? Something that is meant to be all vibrant and happy. And he made it out to be, you know, very cryptic. And yeah, no, I agree with that. I wasn't crazy on The Fiend.
No.
I didn't mind The Fiend, but towards a certain point, you know, it kind of got too much.
I didn't like The Fiend. I didn't like the Happy House, whatever you want to call it.
Firefly Funhouse.
Yeah.
I didn't mind that. I didn't. But the key to take away from it, though, he was able to adapt.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Of course.
100%. So he was able to adapt he was so creative. He was able to adapt and switch up characters anytime WWE kind of wasn't giving him the opportunity to go further with it. You know, obviously with the Firefly Funhouse, and then also having Alexa Bliss as part of that, him being alone for a bit without the Wyatt family, then them recreating the Wyatt family with Braun Strowman. And then, of course, the Fiend character completely coming into play.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. You still have the same thing there. One match, if you can call it a match, that kind of really gave that everyone's really going to remember just for its creativity. And it could almost really be its own segment itself. Was obviously the match that he had with John Cena at WrestleMania 34, the cinematic match I'm referring to.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
That was just, you know, crazy creative.
I believe we had arguments about that.
Oh, you didn't like that?
I thought it was a waste of time.
Okay.
But that's me. I don't. Yeah. I'm not crazy about the cinematic stuff.
Fair. Yeah.
It could have been great. It could be a 5-star from Dave.
Right. I don't think Dave was able to rate that match, actually.
But
he doesn't rate cinematic matches. But yeah. But a lot of people did like it. Obviously, you're not going to like everything. A lot of people did enjoy that. A lot of people still talk about that cinematic match to this day. Just because he had brought everything into it, right? From,
right.
you know, Cena being Eric Bischoff. Or was it? I think Cena was Eric Bischoff. To just including a lot of old school WWE stuff with into that whole match. We saw him do that with the Firefly Funhouse, you know. The Rambling Rabbit was a take on his Wyatt family character, because a lot of fans would say that he would just ramble on with his monologues. Mm-hmm. What's the other?
Vince with the horns, with the old jacket.
Well, Vince with the horns, of course, that's just alluding to Vince mm-hmm. not allowing him to give him certain creative mm-hmm. control at some point. And then, what was it? Harris the Pig, I believe. That was off Husky Harris, mm-hmm. his old character. And mm-hmm. also Mercy. Because his character was also based off of Waylon Mercy back in the day, who kind of had the same thing with the Hawaiian shirt. He was kind of a cryptic monster, was nowhere near what Bray Wyatt did, but that's where Bray Wyatt took stuff from. He kind of took stuff from Waylon Mercy, and he also made that into a puppet figure.
Okay.
As well for the Firefly Funhouse. Why am I not remembering the puppets? But all of the puppets that were there just weren't just to be there. It was a callback to his older gimmicks. And so, obviously, and then, you know, Bray being there in the Firefly Funhouse was his new gimmick and so on. Mm. It was just... just a creative, all that to say, just a real creative mind for the business. And obviously so super young. And we should have seen Bray Wyatt do a lot more in terms of, like, he had so much to offer and still so much still to do, you know, with the Uncle Howdy stuff and all that. And we lost the creative mindscape that he would have given us, in the wrestling business. And it's just very unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do we think we're going to see him in the Hall of Fame? Like now? Because when Eddie passed, they put him right away. But then you also think that Eddie had a longer, a much longer career.
Well, Wyatt's definitely going in the Hall of Fame, anyways, for sure. I don't know. I don't know if this year there.
No, but... I know he's going for sure. But I'm saying, you think he's gonna go like this year? I wouldn't be surprised.
No, I mean, we're still August, you know, so it's very possible.
I would do it. If else, yeah. Triple. Paul?
I mean, it's very possible, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, he's definitely Hall of Fame worthy. Could mm-hmm. easily go in this year. If he does go in this year, he would be the main person to go. So it just depends what WWE is thinking about who to bring in for Philly. It's in Philly. But I mean, it just depends who WWE also has in mind, if they have anyone in mind right now, kind of thing to bring in. So, Echo. I almost certainly would think Bray Wyatt would be in. I just don't know. I mean, it's so early still, so it's very possible that Bray Wyatt might be the headliner for the Hall of Fame. I don't see why not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you weren't a fan of the cinematic match. What was your go-to match for Wyatt?
The whole storyline with him and Daniel Bryan, that Daniel was a part of the family after.
Right. Yeah, that was pretty cool. Short-lived, but it was pretty cool.
And I think it should have been a bit longer. But it ended when it ended. But that's one of my top three. That's in my top three. Yeah. You?
Yeah, I don't recall the Bryan Wyatt match. I do recall all the segments. I don't recall the match per se. I remember Bryan being in the Wyatt family, mm-hmm. Which I thought was super cool, and I thought they maybe should have kept going with that. Mm-hmm. So a match that comes to mind for Bray. A match that would come to mind for me for Bray Wyatt would probably be
there's so many.
Yeah, I'm trying to just at least mm-hmm. Well, the problem for me is with Bray Wyatt is, I mean, it shouldn't be too, like, it depends how you look at it. Like, for me, the Cena cinematic match was just fun in terms of creative point. So right. That's going to be in my top five. I did enjoy that's the thing too. And Wyatt actually started a feud with Finn, right? As well.
Yeah.
He had started
a long one.
Well, it wasn't Wyatt actually, it was the Fiend that started the feud with Finn, and that would have been super cool. We did get the Fiend versus Demon, right?
No.
Technically, we didn't?
No. That's the only one that we were missing.
A lot of missed opportunities there for the WWE to have cashed on that. Taker and him.
I would love to see Wyatt and Black. That'd be a crazy rivalry.
That would have been, very interesting.
The mind games and everything.
Just a match popped into my head. The match I'm thinking of, it's not necessarily a singles match, but it was the Wyatt family versus the Shield.
Yes.
That match is coming to my head, and I remember me talking about that match as being like a match of the year contender.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a match that comes into my head as well. And that was legitimately good storytelling as well as just overall great match to begin with. So that, I remember that feud being on for quite some time. And that was a fun feud that they did do with the Wyatt. This was, I believe, the original Wyatt family, though. Not with Braun yet.
No, it was just Harper and
Redbeard. I still can't believe we don't know his name. I'm going to Google it because that is stupid that we can't figure out his name. I'm
blank.
Eric Rowan. God damn Rowan. It. He just said it before.
That's what I was saying. He just said I was looking for
it. Just said. Boy, we're not even old enough to have memory issues. We are fucked. So for me, Wyatt family versus the Shield was really fun. And I just really, a match that was god horrible. And this is supposed to be an appreciation memoriam for Bray Wyatt, but it's more on WWE's side that we're hating on. Just, you know, that whole decision for Goldberg to beat The Fiend.
You were thinking there. Oh, okay. I was going to get it. I was
so bad.
Something else.
What?
Well, the Hell in a Cell with Seth.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? That match between... It was all right, the match between The Fiend and Randy Orton.
It was the finish.
Between Seth and it was just more the red light. The red light really doesn't work for a Hell in a Cell, which I believe was also red. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know, kind of pointless, kind of weird. Again, very creative, just didn't really pan out. Unfortunately, it was the finish too. It was like a disqualification or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no bueno. Wasn't the greatest produced match. Yeah.
But so I forgot the Goldberg one.
I mean, it's worth forgetting. It was really stupid. I feel like everybody was angry for a very long time. Yeah. So, and then again, he had to, you know, come back from that because that was just completely ridiculous. And he lost the title, I believe, to Goldberg.
Yeah.
For that. So he was just given all these freaking chances and WWE just kind of took it away. And you know, we weren't given that Wyatt run that we needed with that Ooh. Title. And even, you know, him with Roman too was the whole thing when Roman was still in the Shield, they did feud a bit. I almost feel bad because we're talking about all the times that, Wyatt had lost. But it's just, we're mad because, like, we as fans, a lot of fans out there who really loved Bray Wyatt and all that really wanted to see him succeed, but he wasn't given the opportunity to do so at certain gimmicks that he did have when they should have definitely pulled the trigger on doing so. You know, so we're, a lot of us, I would say, are just sad that we won't get to see that Wyatt run that we know we could see with Bray Wyatt because the man was such a creative mind and such a creative genius that really the possibilities were endless with what he could come up with. Yeah, there we go. So like Mike said, don't forget Wyatt Family versus the Shield at the Chamber. Absolutely. That was
Be a Better Bastard.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. You know, success can be rated. I think for me, success is when you have a fan following. No matter with what Bray Wyatt did, the fans were always still behind him. So you don't necessarily have to be in the main event. You don't necessarily have to win a bunch of titles. Bray Wyatt did win 3 in his career. But, you know, success, depending on, I guess, who you talk to, can be determined in so many ways. But, I mean, he always had the fans behind him, you know, whether they be the Buzzards or the Fireflies. The fans were always there for him because ultimately his success was his creativity, you know, with... I remember even watching one of his like first promos, I think that he did for FCW, and he was still a little bit green, but you can still see, the potential of what he could become. You know what I mean? The guy was, I think he gets that too, just, cause this guy's like a third generation superstar, right? His great grandfather was Blackjack Mulligan. You obviously had IRS, his father,
his uncle,
I believe it was his uncle too. Barry, they were in NWA.
Barry Windham.
So his uncles, I think it was two of his uncles, if I'm not mistaken, were in NWA. And obviously his brother Bo.
Yeah.
So he, you know, this, he was meant to do this, and all of them were very good talkers back in their day, with Blackjack Mulligan being very good on the mic. So yeah, you know, he obviously, it was hereditary. They got it passed down. They got it passed down there, and I personally think Bray just took it to a whole other level, and that essentially is his success, being able to have created everything that he wanted to in his mind, put onto paper, and then literally put onto screen. So essentially be a better bastard. That is what is defined by success. He was loved by the crowd, loved by the fans, and ultimately he got, Bray Wyatt had got to do what he wanted to do, mm-hmm. For the most part. Who knows how many other storylines were, you know, pushed to the side or that Vince didn't want to do, or the writers weren't really going to do there. So, so that I think is defined. That I think is the true definition of success. If you have the fans behind you, and ultimately, you know, that's all that really matters. Because as long as you have that, you're going to be getting the other things coming to you. You know, whether it be the push to the main event or another championship and so on and so forth. It's just WWE did drop the ball with him on so many levels too, that, you know, the guy always had to start from scratch, but he ultimately always came up being the creative genius that he wanted to be, because it still was, for the longest time, SmackDown was only interesting because of the White Rabbit gimmick.
Yeah,
you know, dropped the ball when he lost to Cena and everyone was behind Bray, right? Like, that's the first one at WrestleMania, the first time he faced Cena. Why did Cena have to beat Bray? You know, like, I really hate that this is a shit on, like, the losses that he has done, but all of these losses pissed us off so much because we just wanted to see him be that. We wanted to see him have that Roman Reigns mm-hmm. long-term championship. You know, that whole 3 years of an actual title defense. Yeah, he definitely should not have lost to Cena. I believe that was at WrestleMania 30, if I'm not mistaken. That wasn't for a title though, because that's when Daniel Bryan had won his whole thing. But he definitely should have beat Cena, especially it wasn't for a title. It didn't make any sense. Sure, he beat Cena in a cinematic match, but I mean, because he literally had the whole WWE universe in his hands. He really did. Then he says, okay, losing to Cena before or after Owens. Was Bray losing to Cena before or after Owens beat him for his main roster debut? Before or after Owens beat him for his main roster debut?
Yeah,
when did Owens? I don't recall Owens facing. That was before. Yeah.
That's when Owens was NXT champion, and he squatted. He stepped on the Cena's US title.
Yes, so that would have been before Cena beating Bray. That would have been before that.
Yeah, when Owens debuted as NXT champion.
Yes. Yeah. So that would have been before. I think that was.
Hi, Alex. How's it going? Welcome.
Perfect. Wrestling history with Alex. Perfect. How goes it, good sir? Thank you for coming on in. And, you know, guys, please let us know your best Bray Wyatt moments, too.
Yeah.
My mind is a little off with.
It's a bit foggy.
So please let us know your best Bray Wyatt moments. That will allow us to also trigger in as well. Of, you know, moments that have, because he had a long career from 2009 till 2023. He's been there for quite some time. Amongst all the monologues he's done,
the segment Waller feud would have been perfect for Bray. Yes, I could see that happening. He would get the grease, like, good push Wallace with him.
Yes and no. I mean, I don't know. I guess it might have worked. He would have got a little push with that. I don't necessarily know. We thought the same thing with LA Knight too, though, right? I guess that did get LA Knight to a certain level as well. So it's possible.
I believe Theory would have gotten more of a push if he had a chance with Bray.
I don't know. I think Cena was like spot on with that promo when he fought against Theory. Like, listen, you don't try hard enough. There's something that Theory is missing, whether it be work ethic to a certain extent or something, where he's just not pulling the trigger on so that he can be that bigger star. We all kind of see that there was something there, but ultimately that match with Cena really kind of killed his gimmick.
But did Cena really do anything for Theory?
No, it didn't do, not at all. And Cena called it. He's like, no matter what happens in this match, you lose. If you beat me, so what? You beat a washed up guy, you lose. If you don't, a washed up guy beat you, you lose. Paraphrasing, not entirely sure if Cena said it in that way. But yeah, either way, you lose. And he was right. It was a mediocre match. It wasn't anything great between Cena and Theory. So
the Finn
attire was like Beetlejuice, and exactly. A little bit like Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice.
Kind of with the rags, you know, the dirty
the
pants as well, exactly. So Bray Wyatt was a huge, I wouldn't call Beetlejuice a horror film per se, but Bray Wyatt did like the horror genre, and he took a lot of his stuff, a lot of his inspiration from stuff like that. I think one of his first matches in FCW when he was trying out different gimmicks was him with a hockey mask on, right? So thus going... taking Jason? Something from Jason Voorhees from obviously Friday the 13th. So yeah, definitely a lot of inspiration from Beetlejuice. That whole fiend mask was, I don't know what that was an inspiration from, but that was his own
follow-up question. If Michael, you want to read it out loud?
If Michael Keaton in his Beetlejuice character hosted both nights of WrestleMania 40 to sponsor Beetlejuice 2 coming in September.
I mean, that's a very weird question.
So I'll reread it. Follow-up question. If Michael Keaton in his Beetlejuice character hosted both nights of WrestleMania 40 to sponsor Beetlejuice 2 coming in September, what will be his co-host of both nights?
I don't know. I guess his co-host would be whoever else is in Beetlejuice 2. I don't know if Noah Ryder's in the second Beetlejuice as well, but probably the Noah Ryder from who is his co-partner actor from Beetlejuice, the first one.
My choice will be Shotzi.
All right.
Oh yeah, Shotzi. I mean, Alexa Bliss could be good with that too. You know, that could kind of work, and that can kind of feed in. To, you know, what Alexa Bliss was doing with Bray, since he did have that whole Beetlejuice get up. Alexa Bliss could work with that, because we had all thought Alexa Bliss for the longest time was Sister Abigail. Right? So.
What's another thing in our storyline that goes kind of meh?
I think they just went too animated with it. I think a lot of the Fiend stuff, he had pushed the envelope a bit. Some worked and some didn't. But, you know, he had to try things. He had to try out, see what kind of... Just when you go with the whole... I think just when you had these special... Giving him these special powers, it might have maybe ruined the gimmick a little bit for the Fiend. But, you know, they tried to do different things, and Alexa having the special powers as well, you know, wasn't my cup of tea. It was very early 90s WWE style, though. So if you're into the early 90s, that's really what it was an homage to.
I also said Bray Wyatt tribute match at WrestleMania 40, Stadium Stampede match, but a different Swamp Stampede match.
I mean, yeah, maybe. I don't really necessarily see that happening. There definitely would, I imagine, be some kind of homage match, maybe, at WrestleMania. It is, It is quite a whiles away. But I imagine when Alexa Bliss, speaking of which, a lot of people want Bo Dallas to kind of continue a faction to pay homage to Bray. But I mean, I don't know. I don't know if they want to go that route. Obviously, Bray has the following. I don't know. Do they want to go that route with, you know, look at what happened with the Dark Order, and Brody Lee. I don't necessarily know I think people just want to see what kind of happened with Uncle Howdy and all that, but look, it's really tough. Sure, you're paying homage to him, but it might come off as a bit cheesy and a bit disrespectful. So I don't know if they're going to go that route. Didn't they bring in longtime horror writer for The Fiend creator? Yeah, it was. I don't think he was a writer though. Wasn't he just? It was Rob something. Bray Wyatt, writer, Rob. Yeah, exactly. So it was a new writer just for Bray Wyatt. Excuse me, I was wrong on that. I know they did bring a special person just for the visuals as well. So he was there since March. So it was relatively, he was basically doing all the stuff for the whole Uncle Howdy Bray Wyatt character there. Actually for Bray now, so... Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, literally, when you have a writer just working on Bray stuff, it's because you know how much of a creative genius he is. You know what I mean? Like, Rob Fee, that's it. He was employed by Marvel, and he has a whole bunch of stuff under his belt. And then when Y returned back to the company, Fee was credited with the whole White Rabbit stuff, which was amazing. Everybody just tuned into SmackDown for that. I'd be worried that Bo could get whatever homage over, though Uncle Howdy shirts were in the background during an argument between the Judgment Day. Many are wondering if it was just a one-time thing. I don't know if Bo's going to come back with the Uncle Howdy thing. I don't think you can really continue anything with that.
It'll be very hard.
It would be very hard.
Because it's something personal that he was doing with his brother as well, right? So
yeah, so it was something personal. It's a mix. It would be a mixed bag of emotions. Yes, it would be paying homage. Maybe they would like to do it. So you're still continuing on the legacy of Wyatt. So that could work. But also, it's going to be hard. And then what do you do with it then? You know, like the whole thing with Bray was just his monologues, right? His monologues were just superior to a lot of WWE wrestlers can even do. And it was just so captivating. So I'm not sure, I don't know. Maybe Bo can pull that off, but I don't know. I would consider it in bad taste. Sure, an homage here or there, I absolutely would love to see. If you're gonna do it, make sure you do it right, because otherwise, it's gonna look very disrespectful.
Sorry.
Yeah, one job. I love hearing myself. It's the greatest thing in the world. I feel like CM Punk now.
Oh, don't get me started.
I know. What do we have? Yeah, so we have that. I think it would be very distasteful. Honestly, Bo, and we know Bo is there. Like, I saw Bo, he signed my shirt for when I was there at Elimination Chamber. So we do know that Bo was Uncle Howdy. Bray's promos was better acting than most actors in movies for the past 15 years. That's fair. That's very fair. Certain movies within those 15, maybe not, but certainly for a good chunk of them, I would agree with that. The the, like you said before, Big Red, some of his stuff was just Oscar worthy, just by the monologues itself, you know? So, yeah, if you do a feud for Bo Dallas at WrestleMania 40, what feud will you do for Bo Dallas if you were the booker?
Just as Bo Dallas or as Uncle Howdy? You know, that would kind of depend.
I don't know how, and if Bo Dallas is signed for a long period of time, I don't know how you bring Bo Dallas in. You know, maybe a faction could work. You know, I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. I don't know how well, like the Wyatt family only worked for such amount of time. It did create that spectacle of being a cult, and it worked really well. I don't see how you do it now, because there's nothing. He was essentially the leader. Alexa Bliss isn't there. Eric Rowan isn't really there. Braun Strowman isn't that kind of character anymore. So I don't really know what you do with Bo.
Bo Dallas with a new character created by the mind of Bo.
I mean, sure. It's not to say Bo Dallas is, if you watch his YouTube stuff, Bo Dallas is also very creative as well. I'm sure he could come up with stuff. We haven't got to see with what Bo can do. Bo was given a lot of horrible gimmicks, but he did try to make what he could with them, with the whole Believe. It came off a little cheesy, but, you know, we believed to a certain extent, and we kind of did like it, and we did want to see what else was going to go on with that. So, I don't know. I would like to see Bo back. I think Bo... for the matches I could remember, I thought Bo's stuff in NXT was pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I would like to see Bo back. It'd just be interesting to see what they would do with him.
So, Eric the Red.
Yeah. Exactly. Eric Rowan there. And yeah, it's just very hard. Just, and you're still seeing, I just watched Booker T's Hall of Fame podcast, and they had literally, they were literally on the air when the news had broken out.
That tag piece is when I saw that.
Wow. Yeah, that, and I was like, oh Jesus. Like, I don't even have words now. If you had got me was recording and that news came out, forget about it. You know, what do you say? Like, the mind.
I said on my Discord, what about us use the same big nets of Chris Jericho in 2011, 2012, saying the first day of 2024 is the end of the world as you know it. WWE day one.
Yeah, I don't think they do day one anymore, though. No, I don't think that's a pay-per-view anymore. I don't think they did it last year. And I don't know if you do that whole Jericho thing,
no, you don't.
With Bo, that worked. Cause you know, year 2000
Y2K
was the whole thing. It worked. It was there. Yeah. Were we all going to just lose electricity, and was it the end of the world and all that? It just kind of worked. I don't know if you would do that with, Bo, but I would be interested to see what they do with Bo now. He did do some of the, he did do apparently a lot of the voices for Uncle Howdy too, though. So maybe he has that cryptic character down and packed. But yeah, I just don't know. I don't know what you do with that. I'm on the fence of it being borderline distasteful, and also just, you know, maybe it just work.
I think you just lay it like.
Yeah, just leave, let it be.
Let it be. Like,
let it be.
Some things are just not meant to be, you know? Just let it go and move on.
Well, and how do you top someone who has done it so perfectly? You know what I mean? Like, it's like when they make movie sequels to the first movie that was really good, and then the second one is just trash because they want to make money off of it, and it's just, you know.
It's like every Spider-Man. There's a different Spider-Man every time. Just no.
Well, there's not a different Spider-Man every time. They at least do three for the same Spider-Man.
Okay, but you know what I mean.
I mean, I do, but fair. Yeah, but I mean, it's just like, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Don't try to rehash what Bray did. It's going to come off cheesy. Mm-hmm. It's not going to come off as good just because, you know, it was in his creative mind. He wanted to, you know, don't try to mimic what Bray did. You're not going to be able to. You'll have to just create something different, create something completely different. And that's it. Yeah. Don't even try to attempt to do anything that Bray did, because you're going to fail at it. I think all the gimmicks that Bray did end up being perfect. Sure, it had certain moments where it didn't pan out or pan through, but, you know, that's why you keep trying. That's why you keep doing different things, right. And so on and so forth. That whole SmackDown so was really tough, especially even Monday Night Raw, when you saw Becky Lynch you know, face off against Zoe Starks, and at the end of it she was pointing to her armband and she just started crying. You know, it's tough. You worked with Bray, you know, they've worked with Bray for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. Apparently he was really jolly backstage, everyone remembering his laugh, his hugs, just being there, being present for everyone. You know, so it was, it's hard. Of course, you know, it's hard when things like that happen to someone you've worked with for so many years. And you just see these constant videos of Bray being there for the fans. And, you know, this one kid, I saw a video of him being behind the barricade outside.
Yeah,
I saw that. Wanting to talk to Bray Wyatt and for him to sign something, and Bray Wyatt left, but then he came back and he's like, "Oh, I told you I'd come back." And, you know, he even knew the kid's name afterwards. He talked to him for a little bit and da, 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 da. So, you know, it's stuff like that, especially for the fans that leave an impact on them. And, you know, not all wrestlers are going to do that. Some wrestlers just, you know, they see this, you know, every day, and some are just sick of it. But Bray appreciated, you know, all the fans that he did have, and he liked being there for them. And, you know, he knew it was ultimately going to make their day. And so, you know, that's a lasting impression that he left on a lot of fans, because he was just an overall, you know, great guy, and not everyone would do that. So kudos to Bray for just always being there for the fans. And as much as we believed in him, he believed in us too, for, you know, doing those special things, like going back for that fan and taking a picture with me, and you know, just he bunch of videos you see of, you know, Bray Wyatt talking to a casual fan on a live show, one of the WWE live shows, for like 10 minutes, just like that, you know. So I don't know him personally, but he sounded like an amazing human being, an overall great guy. Yeah. We have heard about his, you know, depression episodes, his mental health, and, you know, I'm sure he at times was going through a lot with that. And the silver lining in this is I am at least grateful that it wasn't due to anything of a mental health sort of thing, right. You know, because so
that's the first thing that popped in my head. I'm pretty sure many of us thought it was suicide.
I didn't want to say it into so many words and not be so blunt, but Yes. Well,
we're all thinking of it.
I know. But you gotta be a little, you know, a lot of us were thinking because we have heard about his mental health episodes. Mm. Yes. That, you know, hopefully it wasn't anything like that. And you know, it wasn't. So there is that, in that regard. But you know, he did pass away due to his heart stopping, essentially could be like a heart attack due to complications of COVID. So just so there's that silver lining, but it's still so young, 36 years old. It looked like he was getting back into shape. There were rumors of him going back to the WWE. So I don't know, especially with all that news we heard afterwards. I don't know how he would have returned if he was using a heart defibrillator
if the rumors were right that he was going to return, I don't see him in action, probably like a manager or some kind of voice over.
No, that's fair. That's fair. That's fair. He could just do his monologues and all that. Could have done that. And I mean, that would have just been fine. You know what I mean? SmackDown was literally the Bray Wyatt show for probably a few months. And he didn't even wrestle. It was just nothing but pure monologues. So, I mean, that could have been something for sure. I don't know what else to really say.
I think we...
If you guys do have any special moments, if you have, met Bray, or if you have a certain match in mind or anything, a certain monologue that you enjoyed. A monologue that's coming to my mind was I think it was something like his bad teacher or something. A teacher who said that he was never going to amount to anything and that she looked down on him and she thought that he was never going to do anything with his life. And he just told the fans he was telling the fans you got to turn this energy of negativity, turn it into something positive. And that's what I did. I've grown to the man I am now. And now paraphrasing, of course, cause I can never dare use the perfection of words that Bray Wyatt would use, but that monologue is coming to my mind. And I'm definitely just gonna try to go through all of his monologues from start to finish, and once I do find a good playlist of that, I'm definitely gonna be posting that, because just his monologues had so much deeper meaning to them than what is on the surface. Right. There was certain quotes that he would use. There was certain quotes that he would use from, certain activists through time, whether it be through, words spoken by Martin Luther King or Malcolm X, from
the Bible,
from Socrates or biblical passages, and he just really would be everywhere with all of his monologues, and just to kind of bring everyone in, you know what I mean? There's fans I remember mentioning, like, oh, he really, he really hit me with this. It's like he was speaking to me. And as what quotes do when people do use quotes to solidify what they want and their meaning, Bray Wyatt was doing that and taking a lot of inspiration from various people that he looked up to. And so it's just creative mind, man. Like I don't recall anyone who has done what he has done. We talk about The Rock being great on the mic, but this was something completely different.
It was next level.
It was just different. It was just different. The Rock bring people in, but Bray Wyatt definitely spoke to your soul. You know what I mean? Like, not to be cheesy or whatever, but he, in reality, like, spoke to your soul, and just, he was awesome. He was awesome at what he did, and he was careful with his words, and just absolutely a treasure. I am grateful for everything that he has brought us to the wrestling business, as well as grateful to have been motivated by him to, you know, be a better person and a better human being, and to be more articulate as well. And so I am grateful for everything that Bray has contributed, because we can all learn a lot from the ups and downs of Bray's career. So, yeah, definitely going to be, you will be missed, Bray. And obviously my thoughts and prayers go out to the entire Rotunda family and all of the fans alike, as well as his wrestling colleagues who are still, of course, mourning his death just a week later. It's only been a week, and it feels like it was just yesterday. I still can't talk. You know what I mean? And here I am still blabbering. But what would you like to say there, Big Red? Any other thoughts come into your head?
I'm still speechless. It's still not... I'm still thinking this is a storyline.
Yeah, no, definitely not. You know, I mean, that maybe had crossed my mind if a little bit, like, no, that'd be crazy, distasteful to do that. But also, it's Triple H's own Twitter. Yeah. You know, like, Triple H would not do such a thing. I could see Bray maybe doing a storyline within that of killing one of his inner demons and da 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 da. But no, just so young. Definitely not a storyline. Tell you that much. Mm-hmm. So with that said, rest in peace, of course, goes out to Terry Funk as well. We had lost also Bob Barker, as I mentioned, that week as well. And, of course, the man, the legend, the myth, the enigma that is Bray Wyatt, who entertained us for the past... You know, for the past, 15 years?
Time flies, man.
Yeah, 15 years. Thank you, Bray, for everything you have given us, you have brought to us, and thank you for making us all follow the buzzards. Because, boy, if we needed to follow any kind of leader, you, sir, would be it. Just so captivating in everything he did. And, That is pretty much it. I don't really know what else to say. I'm just going to be a broken record with how creative this guy, Bray Wyatt, was, and how he will be missed for years and years to come. Because there's not going to be anything like what he has brought to the company for a very long time. So,
yeah.
With that said, we would like to, I guess, close out on that. And we'll miss you, Bray. Thank you for everything you've done. And thank you for letting us in. We will be back in September for our weekly wrestling shows. But we just wanted to remember Bray Wyatt for everything he's given us. And that's it. And I'm horrible at closing, but thank you for everything, Bray Wyatt, Wyndham Rotunda. You will be missed. And thank you for everything you've contributed to the wrestling business. Until next time, ciao for now.